Thank you very much, and good morning to our conference call today for Q2 2020. I hope you all and your families are doing well and everyone is healthy. I would like to extend a, once again, very warm welcome to also our CEO, Joe Kaeser, Deputy CEO and CTO, Roland Busch, as well as our CFO, Ralf Thomas. Before we start, a few housekeeping remarks. This morning at 7:00 A.M., we published our results. That presentation, as well as the speeches of our board members, as well as any other documentation, can be found in German and English on our website at siemens.com/presse. This is also where you will find the recording for this telephone conference. A quick rundown. First, Mr. Kaeser is going to give you an update on the current COVID-19 situation at Siemens and will then give you an overview of Q2 of the fiscal year. Afterwards, Mr. Busch will give you an overview of the current situation in the individual divisions and business units, as well as an update on our strategy program. Last but not least, Mr. Thomas will give you a detailed look at the numbers of Q2. Afterwards, of course, all three gentlemen will be made available for your questions. I would also like to point out the safe harbor statement that you can find on the second page of our quarterly presentation. Now, with that, I would like to hand over the floor to Mr. Kaeser.
Thank you very much, Clarissa. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, from me as well, and thank you for joining us. I hope you and your families are well in these unusual and difficult times. Today, the 8th of May, we are commemorating a historic event of great significance for us all, the end of World War II in Europe 75 years ago. This important anniversary, which we are honoring in the midst of the coronavirus crisis, can hopefully remind us of essential things that transcend our current situation. Peace, freedom, tolerance, understanding, these are the values of the post-war order that began on the 8th of May, 1945. These are values that not only endure, they can also guide us in the age of globalization, digitalization, climate change, and growing nationalism and populism. Siemens will continue to foster these values. At a time when the world is seeking stability and needs orientation, it's our job as individuals to foster them as well. Some have referred to the coronavirus crisis as a war, but it's really something completely different. It's a challenge, but even more, an opportunity to show social cohesion, solidarity, and our concern for one another. These nearly forgotten values characterized by the period just after the war, they are the values that enabled our parents and grandparents in Germany to bring about the so-called German economic miracle. There'll be a period of reconstruction after Corona too. Despite all the losses and setbacks, it will be a great opportunity to build a better world, a sustainable and multilateral world based on the principles of environmentally responsible social market economy. This may be a challenge for our political leaders, but also for companies and our economy and our society as a whole. Now we have to master the crisis without losing sight of the future. This also applies to Siemens, and it applies at a time when we're in the midst of realignment of historic dimensions, I believe. The tasks could not be greater. However, we are optimistic. We made good use of the time between 2014 and 2019, and now have both a strong market position and a solid financial basis. We have a strong and experienced management team, one that successfully mastered the 2008-2009 global financial crisis and our homemade existential crises of 2006, 2007, and 2013. And we have an advanced future-proof portfolio in the areas of energy, industry, infrastructure, and healthcare. for which more than 386,000 motivated colleagues are giving their best every day. However, it's taking everything we've got to maintain our operational readiness along the entire value chain, and our organization is often stretched to its limits. This applies to procurement, customer relationships, sales, quantities, and services, and thus to employment. Interactions with governments and regulators around the world, to mention only a few. But in everything we do, one thing is clear. The health and safety of our employees and that of our partners are our top priority. A time of crisis is also a time to show that we are responsible and ready to help. I'm very pleased that we are able to utilize our stable position and our portfolio to support others in this time of crisis. For only those who have can also give. Not only is Siemens honoring its social responsibility, and about 2 years ago, I called the turbines, and I think our purpose, that is, and we're also doing so to an exceptional degree. And as you can see in the documents, there are many, many examples where people help. And I would like to single out our COVID-19 fund, which collects donations from Siemens employees. And I can say we've collected more than 12 million euros. And I would like to thank all our employees for this effort. Siemens is giving its everything in order to do the best it can. But, of course, the crisis also poses major challenges for us on the sales side, challenges that impact our entire company. Many of our key markets and key sectors, for example, the automobile and machine building industries, mechanical engineering, have also been strongly affected, as have other factors ranging from the financial feasibility of major projects for maintenance and service, customer locations. Different regulations in different countries are also influencing our business. For these reasons, we don't expect to experience the full impact of the worldwide shutdown and thus the bottoming out of demand until the third quarter. Due, above all, to the multi-causal character of the factors involved, it's still too early to predict how long the situation will last and when the world economy will recover. Therefore, we can no longer confirm our original guidance for fiscal 2020 and will refrain from providing a new one until further notice. Ralf Thomas will discuss the changes in our outlook in greater detail in his presentation. However, we are convinced that Siemens can emerge from this crisis stronger than before, and there are the following reasons which speak for that. One, we are the leader in automation and industrial digitalization. In the future, these technology trends will be in even greater demand when the global value chains have been rethought and redesigned. Healthcare technology will also be rethought. Different medical procedures will converge. Siemens Healthineers is the only company in this sector to have integrated imaging, laboratory diagnostic, and digital intelligence under one roof. The energy sector will also have to change. When the global economy is rebuilt, this sector will have to be sustainable and resource-friendly when it comes to power generation, transmission, and consumption. Siemens Energy, like no other company, is predestined and better equipped than others. The national economies of China and the U.S. will, rightly or wrongly, emerge from the crisis stronger than before. In both these markets, Siemens companies are better positioned than any other foreign competitor. And last but not least, we've become a robust and focused company that is strongly positioned for the future. And this in terms both of structure and our portfolio. Now, we'll look at the differentials of the 2007-09 and the 2017-20 cycles illustrates how robustly our share performed on a comparative basis in 2020, despite its implicit cyclicality. This robustness is also reflected in the substantial improvement in total shareholder return over the last few years. And due to the public listing of Siemens Energy, we'll clearly outpace our main competitors in this respect in 2020 as well. In this connection, it's particularly gratifying that with nearly 300,000 employee shareholders, our workforce is also profiting from this development. In addition, we are building an energy company that, with an order backlog of over 80 billion euros and more than 90,000 employees, will be attractive over the long term. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick look now at the development of our businesses. We've delivered a robust quarter given the serious circumstances. And I'm particularly impressed with my global team that, in addition to operations, kept to the original timeline for the spin-off of our energy business. In the second quarter, we are reporting the businesses of Siemens Energy for the first time as discontinued operations. Therefore, they are no longer included in our industrial businesses. Orders declined 9% on a comparable basis to 15.1 billion euros. This was primarily due to a lower volume from major orders at Siemens Mobility. The order backlog for the entire Siemens group reached a new all-time high, meaning 150 billion euros. Today, over 386,000 people work at Siemens worldwide. This is about 3,000 more than only a year ago, and we currently have nearly 9,000 job vacancies, of which a third are in Germany. And the book-to-bill ratio, which means the orders incoming and revenue, was well above 1 at 1.06. The adjusted EBITDA of our industrial businesses was very good, particularly when it comes to the short-term operations. It was clearly above 10%, and EBITDA, as I said, was about 1.6 billion for an operating margin of 12.1%, and I can say this is strong as in the past. As I've already mentioned, we completed the carve-out of gas and power as originally planned in the second quarter. Despite the difficult conditions, Siemens Energy was launched with a strong team as planned on the 1st of April, and our extraordinary shareholders meeting can be held as planned and in a new format on the 9th of July. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, we are dealing with these extraordinary circumstances in a focused and rigorous manner, but also respectfully and in a circumspect or cautious manner. We too don't know how long or how intensively this pandemic and its impact will continue to occupy us. Everything we can influence, we've understood well. But we are surrounded by huge imponderables, but by too many things that we can't influence. We are aware of this, and we are taking it into account in our actions. But we also know there will be a time after Corona, and we are making preparations and creating the prerequisites for a successful period of reconstruction. And this may come soon. After all, it's always darkest just before the dawn. My colleagues Roland Busch and Ralf Thomas will now provide you with an in-depth overview of our performance in the second quarter.
Thank you very much, Joe. Good morning also from my side, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. Now, Joe Kaeser has already spoken about how the corona crisis is impacting us. Whether in manufacturing, services, or working from the home office, I have tremendous respect for how our employees are handling this extreme situation. While we can't predict the future, we can manage how we deal with this crisis, and that's going very well. Many of us are working from home, but nobody is working alone. Our business is proving to be solid. Now, on a comparable basis, revenue in Q2 declined by only 1%, thanks mainly to our very healthy portfolio mix, which reflects short and long-term investment cycles. a growing share of high-margin businesses such as services and software. We also operate in a very wide range of sectors. While some are being hit harder by the crisis, others are actually seeing an increase in demand. Siemens Healthineers, for example, is taking in more orders for computer tomography scanners. At Digital Industries, demand is up in essential industries such as food and beverages, hygienic products, and pharmaceuticals. Despite social distancing measures, DI is continuing to serve its customers by, for example, enabling machines and systems to be remotely inspected and approved or put into operation by experts working online. Similar effects can be seen in smart infrastructure. Demand for remote maintenance is growing, and we're also seeing an increased revenue with customers that operate hospitals, data centers, and other critical infrastructures. Now, I'm also confident due to the high level of our order backlog, which currently totals 69 billion euro, not including Siemens Energy. Siemens Mobility here accounts for the biggest share of this figure. So post-corona, in the future, I see two major trends emerging. First, digitalization will pervade businesses to an even greater extent and provide a competitive edge. Digital industries are already playing a major role in combating the crisis. Now, I'm convinced that in particular those companies that were early adapters of digitalization will emerge from this crisis stronger than before. Secondly, the crisis will in some areas lead to an extensive readjustment of manufacturing and supply chains. The crisis has clearly shown how vulnerable such chains are, and I'm confident that companies in high-wage countries will once again be able to produce competitively by adopting more automation and IoT technologies. So that is by connecting the real and the digital worlds. Now, needless to say, the next few months will be an immense challenge for all of us and demand the utmost. But this crisis also presents a great opportunity for Siemens over the long term. All the market developments we've been focusing on for quite some time, especially digitalization, will accelerate as a result, and technology will play an even greater role. Another important point, without, of course, suspecting the possibility of a pandemic, we'd already introduced Vision 2020 Plus in order to significantly strengthen our focus on customers and markets, increase our agility, and initiate cost-cutting programs. We're now reaping the benefits of all these measures. In response to the effects of the pandemic, digital industries and smart infrastructure have further accelerated their cost optimization programs, and the biggest levers here are increased in-house digitalization, streamlining processes, and optimizing regional structures. Compared with the announcement at our Capital Market Day in May 2019, we're now planning until fiscal 2021 to achieve cost reductions of roughly 475 million euro, marking an additional increase of 165 million. Digital industries will account for 135 million of these additional savings, and 30 million will come from smart infrastructure. We're also right on track to achieve our savings target of approximately 300 million euro by 2021 through lean and effective governance. Ladies and gents, I would now like to turn to what is an especially pleasing topic. Siemens Mobility is defying the corona crisis. We have a market-leading vertically integrated portfolio, and Siemens Mobility is an integral part of Siemens AG. Now, although we announced that we'd give you a strategy update in Q2, due to the current situation, we've postponed this to Q4. We're not under any time pressure here. The market consolidation is, of course, something we're keeping a very close eye on and will selectively strengthen our portfolio whenever opportunities arise, as we've done very successfully in the past. For example, with Invensys Rail and Hakon, a leading software provider for the mobility sector. At the close of Q2 2020, Siemens Mobility had a very strong order backlog of 32 billion euros. During the crisis, we've succeeded in keeping operations running despite limitations in projects and in access to customers. Now, I'd like to once again take this opportunity to highlight Siemens Mobility's strong long-term performance. Over the past 5 years, this business has delivered a compound annual growth rate of 4%. And I'm also delighted by the huge improvements that we've made to our processes over the years. We now also have our new Maria Regional Train certified for operation in record time, 38 months. That is 6 months faster than customary within the industry. The Maria will actually be operating in the Rhine Valley region between Karlsruhe and Basel. The final approval for the ICE4, by the way, was also just as fast, and we just received it recently. This week, we sold our 1,000th Vectron locomotive, and this is a success story we owe particularly to our systematic platform strategy. These highly flexible locomotives have been built in Munich-Allach since 2012 and have accumulated more than 300 million kilometers of service. Now, finally, I'd like to say a few words on our portfolio companies. As you'll recall, these are the units that we've removed from our industrial business to give them greater entrepreneurial freedom. Since April 2019, we've made great progress in improving the operational performance of these portfolio companies. Our strategic plans to enable each unit to tap its full potential are, in fact, taking effect. The fully consolidated units are no longer in the red and are on track for further growth. Now, Flenda, a separately managed company since 2017, has performed particularly well, and we've therefore developed a two-stage plan to position Flenda even better on the market. First, we intend to integrate the POC unit, Wind Energy Generation, into the Flenda business. This unit is a leader in generators and components for direct drives for the wind power industry. With this first step, we'll create a strong unit with roughly 8,500 employees and roughly 2 billion euros in revenue. Now, with this move, we're, of course, improving our offering as a system supplier for the wind power industry, an ecologically and economically important sector currently undergoing a major technological transformation. Second step of the plan calls for Flender to be publicly listed via a spin-off. Now, Siemens shareholders will vote on this proposal at the ordinary shareholder meeting in February 2021. Now, before I turn the floor over to my managing board colleague, Ralf Thomas, I'd like to say that the past few weeks have made me even more aware of what Siemens stands for and what we're achieving than ever before. I'm proud of our employees who are giving their all in this time of crisis. There's a great feeling of togetherness and team spirit at Siemens, and that's especially important since we can only overcome this crisis together as a team. The trust of our customers is also very perceptible, primarily because we ensure that many of them can continue to reliably operate their critical infrastructures and processes even during this time of crisis. And with that, I'd like to hand over the floor to Ralf.
Thank you very much, Roland, and I would like to wish you a wonderful good morning as well. Now, let us take a closer look at the results of our individual businesses. Siemens Energy, Gas and Power, together with Siemens Gamesa, as already mentioned, we've reclassified as discontinued operations in our reporting at the end of the first half of fiscal 2020. This step, which is required by the applicable accounting regulations, marks a further important milestone on our way to the public listing of Siemens Energy. As a result, my remarks today won't include a detailed discussion of the results for Gas and Power and Siemens Gamesa. The same applies to the figures of Siemens Healthineers, which you already know from Healthineers' own reporting. As always, you'll find a detailed overview of all our businesses in our earnings release. Let's begin with the digital industries. We won several large contracts in our factory automation solutions business and our software business in the second quarter. In addition, many customers increased their inventories. As a result, orders at Digital Industries rose slightly overall on a comparable basis, despite the difficult business environment. From a geographical perspective, this included double-digit growth in China. Revenue, however, declined considerably on a comparable basis. Customer demand, particularly in the short-cycle businesses, cooled noticeably due to the coronavirus crisis, with China and Germany posting the sharpest declines. Lower revenue held back the profitability of the short-cycle businesses in particular. Overall, the profit margin for digital industries was well below the prior year quarter. However, at 15.9%, or rather 16.9%, excluding severance charges, it can still be considered very solid. Nevertheless, we expect the coronavirus pandemic to have an even stronger negative impact in Q3, especially in the high-margin, short-cycle businesses. Now, let us turn to the results for smart infrastructure. On a comparable basis, orders declined moderately compared to the strong prior year quarter. Demand cooled particularly strongly in Asia and Australia due to the coronavirus crisis. On a comparable basis, smart infrastructures posted a slight revenue decline of 1%. The solutions and services business in the US generated noticeable growth momentum. In other regions, in particular Asia and Australia, revenue was already down significantly due to the coronavirus pandemic. Here as well, weaker demand from customers in short-cycle industries dampened the normally high-margin product business. Roland Busch has already mentioned our program for boosting smart infrastructure's competitiveness. The business's highly experienced leadership team is making solid progress with this program, and in addition to the impact of the coronavirus pandemic, the severance charges related to this program, which took away 3 percentage points, weighed heavily on smart infrastructure's margin in Q2 of 5.2%. For the upcoming third quarter results, we expect the pandemic to have an even stronger negative impact on profitability in this business. Despite diverse headwinds, Siemens Mobility successfully sustained its business in Q2, and for the most part, its results were correspondingly robust. The substantial decline in orders primarily reflects the extraordinarily high level of major orders in the prior year quarter, as we reported a year ago. We were also able to celebrate several noteworthy successes in Q2. In Germany, for example, we received major orders for regional trains based on our highly successful Mireo platform. Among the Mireo orders was our first for battery-powered trains, which will operate in the southern German state of Baden-Württemberg. Siemens Mobility's very solid 1.06 book-to-bill ratio has further strengthened its already very sound order backlog of €32 billion. Thanks to its rolling stock business, Siemens Mobility's revenue rose considerably, climbing more than 6% on a comparable basis. Several large rolling stock and service projects began successfully ramping up during the quarter. With its robust profit margin of 9.3%, Siemens Mobility remained within its target margin range. The challenges posed by the coronavirus crisis are clearly noticeable, but our financial stability puts us in a good position to handle them. One crucial key figure in this connection is our net available liquidity. At €11.4 billion, we are in a very favorable position in this regard. And due to our strong rating, we have many options available when it comes to liquidity management, which we engage in continuously and very actively. In February, for instance, we took advantage of what were then still favorable conditions of the financing market and issued bonds with a volume of €5 billion. The high demand for these securities was another clear expression of the trust people place in our financial strength, and it impressively confirms our excellent reputation on the capital market. A further example is our long-standing credit line of more than €7.5 billion, to which we added another €3 billion in March. Since these two credit lines are both currently undrawn, we have additional flexibility should the need arise. Through our active liquidity management, we ensure on a day-to-day basis that we are making the best possible use of all financing sources and options. Now, before moving on, I'd like to make a brief remark, if you allow, about our current share buyback program. To date, we've purchased shares worth €2.4 billion as part of this program. Given the regulatory requirements in connection with the upcoming spin-off of Siemens Energy, we've put the current buyback program on hold for now. However, we'll resume our buyback activities after the spin-off. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let us have a look at our outlook. Siemens performed solidly in the second quarter of fiscal 2020, even as the economic consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic began to impact our operations and our financial results.
We expect even stronger impacts from the pandemic on business development in our fiscal third quarter. Beyond the quarter of fiscal 2020, macroeconomic developments and their influence on Siemens currently cannot be reliably assessed. Therefore, as Joe Kaeser already mentioned, we can no longer confirm our original guidance for fiscal 2020. We now expect a moderate decline in comparable revenue in fiscal year 2020, net of currency translation portfolio effects, with a book-to-bill ratio remaining above one. The decline in demand most strongly affects our operating companies, Digital Industries, and Smart Infrastructure. We adhere to our plan to complete the spin-off and public listing of Siemens Energy before the end of fiscal 2020. In addition, we expect to record a spin-off gain with discontinued operations, the amount of which cannot yet be reliably forecast. We continue to expect material impacts on net income from spin-off costs and tax expenses related to the carve-out and subgroup creation of Siemens Energy. Now, given the above-mentioned circumstances, we currently refrain from giving guidance for basic EPS from net income for fiscal 2020. Now, and over back to you.
Thank you very much, Joe Kaeser, Roland Busch, and Ralph Thomas. Now we have 30 minutes for your questions. Now, ahead of time, just a housekeeping remark. We can unfortunately not mix German and English questions due to the translation, and therefore we'll start with the German questions. Now, if you've logged on to the English conference, please ask your questions in English. We will also answer them in English. Now, with that, I would like to hand back over to the operator, who's going to explain to you how you can ask your questions. Thank you very much, Ms. Haller. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keyboard. We would now like to call upon the first question. Our first question is from Axel Höppner from the Handelsblatt. The floor is yours. Good morning. I have two questions on Siemens Energy. Can you give us any details on the numbers, on the business development, and is there the possibility to postpone the listing, or do you simply continue with that despite the environment? Thank you very much, Mr. Höppner, for the question. Now, I can absolutely see that this is a very urgent question for you, but you also know from previous comparable cases that due to the launching of the discontinued operations and because the spin-off report is about to be published, unfortunately we cannot give you any additional information on the business, on the ongoing business in more detail. You must have a little bit more patience, I'm afraid. Now, towards the end of May, probably the 26th of May, we're going to publish the spin-off report, and at that point, we will also provide additional, more detailed material on the business development at hand. We do hope you understand that this is simply not within the remit of what we're allowed to do. This is a regulatory issue. Of course, you certainly have questions on also the possibility of a postponement. We've also published something on that, and as you're probably aware, we observe clearly what other companies do who are in a different situation than we are. We assume, and we've always underlined that fact, that all the relevant topics, with the exception of the question whether an AGM could also take place digitally, all of that was basically cleared ahead of time. So we were very optimistic that we could stick to our schedule, and at no point in time we had any doubt that we would not be able to continue this particular project in this fiscal year and finalize this project as well. We are still very confident that we're going to do just that. Comparable cases, as far as I'm aware, do not exist, because those companies that had to take back their plans for a variety of reasons were in different situations than we are in at the moment. And Siemens Energy, as we've already said at the Capital Market Days back in 2019, we see them as very positive, is very strong. They're going to get off to a running start with a very positive financial rating, which will obviously also translate into the actual rating. Thank you. Our next question is Michael Flemig from the Börsen-Zeitung. Good morning. This is Michael Flemig from the Börsen-Zeitung. Three quick questions. Number one, the business in Q3 under the pandemic conditions, what do you expect? How did April go? Then just another question on Siemens Energy, because we don't hear a lot about it. For example, what about the location of the AHQ? Could you give us any infos here? And third, on mobility, you mentioned it's an integral part of the corporation, of the company, and I understand it in the way that this business is not supposed to be sold. Is that excluded? Yeah, no, you're only going to give us a strategic update on Q4. Why did you make that decision as well? Thank you very much, Mr. Flemig. Maybe let me just start with that first question on the outlook for Q3 and how that will go. Well, of course, at the moment, we can't give you the book numbers of April. Of course, we've been very diligent and very detail-oriented as we observed our business. And I did say that much in my contribution. And of course, as we've also said, the effects of the shutdown, particularly in the month of March, what that did, that will definitely only translate into the business numbers of Q3 predominantly for April and May. And that's why, of course, particularly our short cycle business, which is predominantly in digital industries, in factory automation and in mechanical engineering, that is still on a level compared to the previous year's quarter, which is going to be affected in a double-digit range. Now, even in smart infrastructure, we have businesses which in the same cycle, also in the short cycle business on the product side, are affected. So again, here we would expect that the development is going to be a double-digit decline. This holds true for April as well as probably for the entire quarter. However, you do know as a long-timer, and of course as somebody who also has been observing our business structure for many years now, that the short-cycle business are short-cycle businesses because the point of views here for the business development does usually not exceed 4 to 8 weeks. That's why it would be simply too early to make forecasts at this point. But we are definitely observing the market as we go along. That doesn't just mean taking orders, but it also means initiating measures, as Mr. Bush has so clearly laid out, that within the framework of what's possible will hopefully cushion the blow on the cost side of things. But of course, also, we are not walking on water, but we're doing everything that is conceivable, everything that has been done, that can be done, will be done, and will be definitely taken into account here. That's why we've pointed out multiple times that we have such a strong and experienced team that has definitely survived other very dynamic market environments previously. Now, on mobility, I would like to hand over to my colleague, Roland. Well, first of all, I would like to once again emphasize the positive contribution of Siemens Mobility in Q2. Of course, it's a very tough competition here. Now, we have the revenue, and that is definitely still a positive influence on the margin corridor. That's why we do see positive influence on the ROCE. Now, what are the businesses that we hold in Siemens? Now, of course, one of the big criteria is growth, and in mobility, we do definitely see growth coming from within the market. That's growth momentum of 4 to 5%, which is a bit above the others, number one. Number two, can you actually make money with it? So profit pools. We do see that we are definitely developing positively here, that we are the leader in the market, and that with our step-by-step changes in the portfolio, we can increase the margins, as we've seen. And of course, we have services or product similar businesses with very high margins as well. Then the other question is that a market with the potential to innovate, to disrupt, and to differentiate yourselves? Here, we can say very clearly yes. Now, for example, with the trains, and of course, we're talking about the regular continued development in the automation, electric drives, fuel cell drives, in very clearly infrastructure. Just remember that we're actually putting more and more components into the cloud. We're driving digitalization. And, of course, service has a huge potential as well. Then we're also looking at synergies. Again, here we can say, yes, clearly there are synergies. We can see it in purchasing, in SSS, in mobility. Everybody's working very closely together, and we can win projects with that and also realize profitability. Technological synergies and also the use of digital platforms are what we're focusing on here. And last but not least, of course, we're definitely profiting in all the regions with a strong Siemens presence. And the question is, why Siemens? Is this a good fit? And here I can give you the answer that we're focused on sustainability. So if we transport people and goods, it has to be green. And the value of the brand of Siemens, of course, plays a huge role. Now, of course, we have a keen eye on consolidation. You do know that Alstom is now considering buying Bombardier. We do, of course, observe that very clearly. We're making our strategies and plans and will react appropriately. Right, and this is Joe Kayser speaking. Maybe just briefly on Siemens Energy. Now, from today to September, again in May, we're going to finalize the spin-off report. I'm sure there will be an information round regarding that for our investors, and of course also for the media representatives, clearly, what it says in the report, how that needs to be evaluated. So on July 9th, we will have the AGM, and then in September, we'll have the Capital Market Day, the prospective roadshow, and then as planned, things will move forward also in September. Now, the location of Siemens Energy has not been decided yet. This is going to be decided within, you know, the summer or the spring, but it's, again, very important that the new management also can get their feet wet here. Now, our colleagues have just started as of the 1st of May, but the AHQ will definitely be somewhere where Siemens Energy is already active. We're not going to open a new location, but that's something we'll talk about in more detail in peace and quiet. Thank you very much. Our next question is now from Ruth Bender from the Wall Street Journal. Good morning. Can you hear me? Okay. Yes, we can hear you. Excellent. I have a question on the future. You've described automation and digitalization is going to get stronger due to the pandemic. And, of course, in this quarter, you can already see the digital industries and factory automation solutions. That's where the orders increases have come in. Do you think this is already coming from the pandemic? Can you give us a bit more details on the business divisions, on the industries that give you these sorts of orders at the moment? And also, what is your outlook on the future? So which areas do you believe are going to strengthen even further? And how quickly will that go? Because, of course, at the moment, it's a very difficult societal situation. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Bender. This is Joe Kayser speaking. I would like to talk about this in general terms, and then Thomas can explain the numbers. Now, when I spoke of automation and digitalization progressing in the industries and probably actually going to be faster through the pandemic, then that is simply due to the fact that already today we can see that mobility, extraterritorial mobility, is a huge factor that influences the value creation chains. And we've already seen that the complexities of the value-added chains in mobility definitely created a lot of noise. Now, I believe that the value chains will be more decentralized going forward. And, of course, therefore, factories will also have to be much more flexible in order to be able to handle these sort of geopolitical and geographical changes going forward. And I believe this simply reaffirms what we said early on with our automation and industrialization and digitalization. And of course, we can also see across different locations in the world that we can influence things, whether it's on a small scale that people can work from home just as well as they do from the office, or even in a decentralized manner, given, of course, that they have the opportunity to work at all if they have children. So we do see that we don't always have to be physically present where everybody else is. And that is something that we can work with, that we can use to design the digital twins in factories. And this is a very decentralized approach to automation for high-performance products. Now, that is what I was mentioning when we bet on the future. This has nothing to do with months or quarters. This is definitely going to be a long-term trend that is significantly strengthened through the pandemic, because we can see a lot that things work much better than we were initially fearful of when it comes to digitalization. Now, this is Ralf Thomas. On the quarterly numbers, you already mentioned DI and the numbers. It is, in fact, as I've mentioned, we definitely have a positive development. This is plus 2% here. That is predominantly can be traced back to two main points. Number one, we actually had larger orders that we were able to win in the automation solutions and also in industrial software, again, mostly from the semiconductor industry. Both of those orders, or both types of orders, I should say, have a long lead time when it comes to the business finalization before a company actually signs on the dotted line. So this is usually across multiple months. In, for example, aviation, sometimes can even take years until final opinions have been formed, until a contract has been finalized. So there is not necessarily a direct relation to the pandemic insights and the industrial political structures that have come from the pandemic. But on the flip side, there's also a second large effect from the panic purchases. Because, of course, even industrial clients, due to the fact that industrial value chains were very unsure as to how that would go, they actually started stocking up on their inventories, and that sort of increased effect in stocking up, of course, also translates into higher incoming orders for Siemens. Now, this is a very differentiated picture, geographically speaking, because, of course, Europe and particularly the United States were a little bit behind the Asian markets. Orders did decrease here, and as I've mentioned as well, in Q3, we're expecting, again, very challenging business situations ahead. However, in Asia, for example, in general, and particularly in China, we can already see a livening up of the short-cycle businesses in March. And in this geographic region, this is where we can also see that's where they did a particular amount of these panic purchases and the stocking up. And that's why I would like to once again emphasize that in Q3, we will not see such a positive effect.
And our next question, Alexander Hübner, Reuters, please. Well, actually, I have two questions, and I hope you can hear me. Mr. Kayser, you mentioned a slump in the third quarter, which you expect then. But, you know, if you are, say, in a slump in a valley, then you can always go uphill. Would I overinterpret that you believe that things will go uphill again in the fourth quarter, or is that too, you know, widely interpreted? Then about companies to be carved out. Now, is this something which you simply want to announce to the shareholders based on the fact that in today's situation you cannot sell this part, or what made you think of doing things, you know, when you look at wind power, and, you know, why not pass it on to Gamesa? Was that an option? Mr. Huebner, thank you very much. Well, the slump, the bottom of the valley, if you like, we have assumed that there will certainly be a slowdown of our business operations in the third quarter, particularly the short cycle business, and this is an important part of our business, particularly when looking at the yield or the revenue. And they are certainly those industries which are mainly affected, automotive, mechanical engineering, aviation, or rather aerospace industries. I think there will be a clear drop fall in the situation. But, you know, we hope that we will be right. And the big question then will be how long the situation will be as low as this. And of course, we do not know the answer. And of course, our customers who we are talking to do not know the answer either. Certainly, there are some signals, there are some industries who see things a bit more positive. And of course, all this will also depend on the fact whether or not we will have, you know, an increase of consumption. Maybe there will be incentives to, you know, go shopping. The aviation industry is quite upbeat, is quite optimistic. Mechanical engineering, well, here the situation is different depending on the regions. In China, for instance, we see increases also in the mechanical engineering sector and also in typical mechanical engineering countries like Italy or Germany. I can say that there are clear double-digit returns or downgrading of forecasts, you know, at our customers. We assume that we will stay at a low level for quite some time, that the situation will, of course, be different in various regions, and we have to be sure that we focus on what is going on, focus on what the gigantic stimulation packages are being structured and what impact they will have. You know, of course, we have to know exactly what is the contents, the substance of such packages. We are always talking about gargantuan figures, no matter which country you're talking about. So we want to make sure what will be a reality, what will be consumed, and which conclusions can we arrive at. You know, a company like Siemens, which is represented globally, is there, of course, but it is also considered to be a German company, on the other hand. So I think it will be difficult. You know, if you think of the national providers, they might be given preference. Surely our company, you know, has employees worldwide, but nevertheless we have to accept that, say, regulators in the various countries will make sure that local value creation, local products are being given preference. I believe this is very clear. It is all about looking at each other, if you like, looking at a kind of coexistence. And, of course, if you also want to find out where to invest money best. No countries. Now, Flender, we thought of the countries, we thought of the companies which we can handle in a different way. We looked at the portfolio segments, we structured the segments in such a way like we thought this might be good. And at the time when we started thinking about this, we have seen that this company hasn't made any losses or profits, and today it's quite a robust company. And we believe that we want to get the best from it for all stakeholders, the shareholders, but also the employees, and, of course, the customers. And, you know, such spin-offs also can create a lot of energy, you know, give them energy to walk along their own path, you know, follow their own course, that there's identity which is being created. They, you know, setting off to new horizons, you might say. This is something which we can imagine. And this is the reason why we opted for this way, you know, about the carve-out. Flender's got its own name, its own reputation. This, of course, is an advantage. And of course, it is not completely green, but also other customer segments who we also looked at. But I think what is in it and whether or not this is a good idea, maybe you can comment on this further.
Well, just to follow up, you know, Flender, over the last few years, it has developed very well. And, you know, it has always been strong in business, industrial segments, on very solid, say, two strong legs, and also other Siemens Energy, Siemens Gamesa. You know, then we've got wind business and industrial business. These are the two pillars. And when looking at the wind industry, I can say that this is a typical purchasing product. That is the transmissions here. We've got a wonderfully working supplier industry with strong players. So here the trend is to outsource in contrast to insourcing. Let me give an example. You know, some customers are asking whether or not we should integrate generators companies so that there is less weight on, say, funiculars or gondolas, but increase the energy efficiency and cost of energy reduction. So this, of course, at the end of the day, is a very, say, interesting option, and also with a view to the suppliers. So it really makes sense to walk along this way for the sector, for the industry, and we can say that we can offer a very well-balanced portfolio, different cycles in wind power. And about the spin, of course, it is very clear we still, you know, can control when to go about it. If we, say, kept a few shares after the spin, then, of course, this might have an impact on our P&L. Well, and, you know, Joe Kaeser can give you more details.
Yes, I agree. You know, we should never forget that there are many, many sides or aspects. You know, a spin-off, this is one aspect, of course, and this means the measure which we've introduced will also, say, handle liquidity in a very cautious manner, and at the same time trying to optimize lots of things. We have several options, and we've always done very well when we have, say, several options in our hands. But surely we've got, say, the sovereignty of, you know, handling things and not being dictated by others what we should do.
Our next question, Christoph Röhrmeier, dpa.
Yes, good morning. Two questions. What about short-time work, and what are your expectations with a view to the automobile industry? Certain bonuses are being discussed. Will there be a new one, or will it be like the ones which we had in the past?
Well, let me start with short-time work. Last month, we started doing something in this respect. We found out that we have to be very flexible, and of course, you know, China dynamic and in other areas, things are going down. So I want to say we just have a look at what the situation is or how it develops. There are some countries shutting down, but now, you know, coming back on stream, if you like, again. And the current status is, I think, 7,000 short-time workers, different companies, and sometimes 20%, sometimes 80%. And the plans are, you know, in place, and we are going to adjust them dynamically depending on the demand. But I can say that we're talking about 7,400 people. You know, we assume that if there are, say, headcount fluctuations, short-time fluctuations, then of course we are going to do everything possible
to, you know, assume our social responsibility and do the best for these people. But this is also an economic issue, and, you know, we've got skilled workers, experts, who do an excellent job, and it really would be fatal to, you know, give them up and then start looking around for experts like these somewhere. Let's say we had 9,000 vacancies, and of those, 7,000 in Germany. So I can say this company is also looking forward. It is not only, you know, looking at the situation and how to handle the current situation, not only that. I can say there are some incentives, some bonuses which we can offer, and it is also about other things. You know, these bonuses which are being discussed, and I think this refers to the most important industry in Germany. We want to stabilize this sector. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of jobs depend on this industry. There's a very, very long value chain, which you have to take into account. Also, the export model is very important. So having said that, I believe it is very good that we think about things, think about what is possible, meaning optimizing things, and of course, to what extent we can use taxation. Surely it would be desirable that we do not, say, fall back to a mentality saying, okay, let's go on as we did in the past, let's continue like we did in the past, you know, after this crisis. I think the biggest challenge in this case, I might say it's the biggest challenge which we've experienced after the Second World War. This was mentioned before, and to say so, I should say this is a very difficult question when looking at the interests of the German society, of the German industries. Then we might come up with a new outlook, with a new perspective for everyone. But now is the time to think about things, to structure things. Well, thank you very much. Now we have got some questions from the English line, and now I hand over to the operator, please.
If you would like to ask questions in English, please press the star key followed by the one key on your phone. Your questions, please.
John, you had
the next question comes from John Railwell from Reuters. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen. I've got a couple of questions, if I may. You say you're expecting a moderate downturn for the year as a whole. Could you give us any kind of numbers on what you mean by moderate then, on the revenue line, isn't it? So what do you see as a moderate downturn for the year? What sort of range? And secondly, you say you're stepping up your cost-saving measures. Could you give us a bit more detail about how you're going to do this? Will it include job losses? Thank you.
Job losses. Let me take the first part of your question. Moderate means up to minus 5%.
Right, okay. Who's that? That Ralph?
Yeah, that was Ralph.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the second question, could you repeat it? Maybe it was hard to understand.
Sorry, yes, sorry. You said about, Mr. Bush said about more accelerating the cost savings at digital industries and smart infrastructure. Could you give us more details on what this will involve, and is this going to mean some job cuts?
John, see, we have been talking about that in our Capital Market Day last year in May, and we have been in a very detailed way describing the different measures, which is dozens of them. There are no incremental job cuts planned to accomplish those targets. We feel rather well positioned to maybe get along with the same impact and less impact on workforce. But it's too early to commit to numbers on that one. But in a nutshell, the commitments of last May are still valid. And as Roland has been pointing out, we are accelerating the programs, having earlier impact with those measures compared to the times and the targets we committed to last year in May, means 165 million incremental cost savings end of 21 compared to that what we committed to last year.
Maybe one addition. So we have two layers here. One is our savings program, Ralf explained it, and the other one are short-term contingency measures, such as short-term work, flexible time frames, prioritization, reprioritization of CapEx spendings and the like. So, and these are more short-term due to the crisis. So this is the blend what we are talking about.
Okay. And if I may have a follow-up, just a bit of a clarification on what Mr. Kays has said in response. This year, I mean, is Q3 going to be the trough, or do you think it's going to, and do you think it will maintain at a low level in beyond Q3, or do you see a recovery in Q4 moving forward?
The point we tried to make was that from today's perspective, we can see that the third quarter is going to be a further decline, will be in the double-digit area for our short-cycle businesses, as I said before. But due to the nature of the macroeconomic development in the different geographies, it would not be a good idea trying to predict how long that third quarter's decline is going to last. Joe has been pointing out that some of our key industries, key customer industries, like automotive, like machine building, like aerospace, they are very severely hit by the corona crisis, and therefore we need to drive on site, and we are prepared to take the relevant measures, including contingencies, to soften the downturn with regard to the bottom line. But it would not be proper to assess the fourth quarter from today's perspective, since there is a massive lack of tangible data points you could model on. So therefore, there are different shapes of the potential crisis, as you know. One is a V shape, which with a quick recovery, a U shape with a longer valley, as has been discussed before in the German part of the conference. And there's also another scenario that cannot be excluded, that it will be lower for longer, L shape scenario. So that's what we can comment on at the moment.
Is there anything that you're planning on?
I couldn't hear you.
Again?
There's no kind of view then from the company about which one of those scenarios you're preparing for? Or
as I said, we are prepared for all of them.
Okay.
Thing is that this is not only about us. We'd be ready for an upturn. We'd be ready to ship. You know, we've got the resources ready. The point is that we need to go look into our customers' area. Supply chain seems to be under control, so we're good to go there. But we need to look at the customers and the regulators. And if there is no ease on the lockup, our service technicians can travel. If people are not allowed to go on site, we cannot go ahead in doing projects. So there is a lot of uncertainty around there. The point is, everything which we can manage, we have under control. The areas of concern, we need to go see what our partners will do, but we are ready to go. So it's all about us.
Thank you very much. John, sorry, we need to close the call now. I'm really sorry, because we will have the analyst call in 5 minutes. I'm really sorry. Please give us a call afterwards, and then we can help you with whatever you still need to know.
Okay, thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for your interest and for participating in today's call. As I just mentioned, our conference call for analysts with Roland Busch and Ralf Thomas will begin in 5 minutes at 8:45. Our quarterly results for quarter three will be published as August 6, 2020. And with that, I wish you a very nice day. Stay safe and healthy. And thanks for participating.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. A recording will be posted at siemens.com/conference call. We say thank you and goodbye.